Psalm 34 says, "Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise him. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth." We could easily be mistaken for thinking that life is a series of journeys. Do we go from one journey to the next, from one job to the next, from one school run to the next? But actually, life is one big journey. Yesterday, Becky and Noah and Hannah, they went on a journey. They went to go and see some family over on the Wirral. And then they went on a special journey, Noah's favourite journey. They went on the ferry across the Mersey. He knows all the words of the song, you know. If you ask him, we'll see. If you ask the racegoers who were here at 7 o'clock last night, they heard him sing every word of them. If you ask John and Lynn, they heard every word. But the ferry's great. You see, they got on the ferry at Woodside and it played the Ferry Across the Mersey song, so he could sing along to it. And you know, on the ferry, they got a little souvenir, a little takeaway. You can get a little bite to eat. There's other people there. There's nice view. And the ferry goes on its little journey. And then they got off the ferry exactly where they started. You know, the biggest mistake we can make in our Christian lives is living as if we are on a journey that goes to nowhere. The greatest tragedy we could have in our Christian lives would be to get off the boat of this life at our final destination no different to how we began our Christian journey. You know, just like the ferry song, we can get on the ferry, we can sing the songs, we can have a simple little meal together, we can be refreshed by the company of others, by the fresh air, by the views, by the vista, we can enjoy it. And we can get off completely unchanged, having never really responded to Jesus' invitation to get to know him. And actually, that's a dangerous thing to do. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 from verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" The greatest risk is that we get to that point in our life and we've never really changed from where we were at the beginning of the journey. But the Psalms of Ascent show us that we cannot remain as we are in this journey of life with Jesus. We cannot remain in the place where we first started. And as we get to the end of this series on the Psalms of Ascent, we are reminded that we are changed and transformed on this journey. Psalm 120, we looked at this back in August last year, not right at the start of this series, but it says this at the end of Psalm 120. "Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar." They were foreign towns to Israel. "Too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war." Psalm 120 reminds us that we were once foreigners, we were once outsiders, we were once not knowing God and not known by God. But the Psalms of Ascent show us that we have been on a journey from the place of not being known to a place of being known. They show us that we've been on a journey from being an outsider to being welcomed and included and grafted in, that we are no longer in darkness, but we are now in light because of the light of Jesus. Ephesians 5 from verse 8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." From verse 15 it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." We've been lifted out of the dark place. We've been lifted out of a place of being far from God, and we have been brought near to God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And when we look at the Psalms of Ascent, we see that our journey began at that point of being an outsider. Our journey began at the place of not being included in the people of God. Our journey began in a foreign place. But as we journey through life with Jesus, we must be changed. We must be transformed. And we end up at a place of praise and glory. And that's what we see. The Psalms of Ascent were sung almost as a liturgy, a set of worship, as Israel went from being outsiders in foreign towns to being drawn again physically and spiritually near to God. From being individuals to being families to being clans to being one nation again to worship the true God. And is this not the ministry we see in Jesus? That the ministry of Jesus was so often spent with the outsiders and the foreigners, the women, the children, those with leprosy, those who were considered sinful by the religious elite. And what did Jesus do? He didn't see them with the label. He saw them as who they were. And as they were drawn near to Jesus, he gave them back an identity and a personhood as he loved them, as he welcomed them. And in the Psalms of Ascent, we see the same thing happening. The Israel were again connecting with their identity as they were drawn physically into Jerusalem, physically into the place of a closeness to the presence of God. They again were restored to their identity. They may have been in foreign towns, in foreign villages. There would have been times in Israel's history, as we well know, when they were in foreign rule and oppression. But as they returned to Jerusalem, their identity as God's people is restored. And when we give our lives to Jesus, our identity is restored. It's a journey of physical ascent uphill for the people of Israel. It's a spiritual journey of being closer to God. And it's a journey that we are all on too. And as we look back over the Psalms of Ascent, we see that that journey won't always be easy. There'll be hard moments. And so we are to remember that our strength comes from the Creator, not from the created. That in moments of trial, we find peace. That as a servant depended on their master for provision, so we are to learn to depend more and more on our master. That in the hard moments, we can remember that the Lord is on our side. That when we trust in God, we're like the mountains where God ministered and surrounded Jerusalem. So that when temptations come, when we're shaken in life, we find protection and a surrounding of God. We're reminded in the Psalms of Ascent that we laugh and we dream, but there's hard moments when we will sow in tears. But when we do that in the presence of God, we will reap a harvest of joy. That we need not strive, but we allow the Lord to build the house. That we walk in obedience to God. And as we walk in obedience to God, by his grace, we are blessed. That in the hardest moments, we cry to him from the depths. And we know that we're forgiven. And we're reminded that Jesus came. And he paid the price for every single wrongdoing we've ever done. And so we can find a peace to quieten ourselves before God. To remember that just as he dwelt in the temple, so he came physically to this earth in the person of Jesus, and by his Spirit he dwells among us now. And so we seek and strive for the oneness of God's people locally and across the world to worship God as one. And when we get there at the end of that journey, we're flipping exhausted. No, we praise. When we get there at the end of that journey, we praise. We worship God. When we've been through that journey, and every trial and every temptation and every hard moment of life, where is our gaze fixed? It's on Jesus. We are called to be a people who praise. And when we get there at the end of this life and at the beginning of the next, what will we do? We will praise. We will praise. Let me tell you about another journey. Probably 10, 11 years ago, Becky and I were traveling to Soul Survivors, kind of, it was called Momentum at the time. It was their 20s and 30s gathering. And we set off late because one of us takes longer to get ready than the other. People looked in that direction then. So we were late leaving and we got there and the weather took a bit of a turn. We were on the M6 and there was like a deluge of water. We got onto the M5 and they're closing lanes here, there and everywhere. And the M5 flooded near Evesham and the police were just sending people off the motorway and we managed to get off at Evesham. They said the road's going to be closed for a while because of the flooding. The conference started at 7 o'clock that night. By this point, it's dark. It's the middle of August, so it's 9:30 at night, something like that. And we ended up sleeping in the car at Evesham train station in the car park. We were going camping, so we had like pasta and stuff with us, which is cool, so we could cook in the car park. And we set off again the next day. The road opened at 7 in the morning. We got there at 9 in the morning. We got to the campsite, and it was just like a bog. But at that point, there's no turning back, is there? So we set up and we're soaking wet through. But do you know what the most beautiful moment was? It was the moment we got into that big top and praised. Because at the end of a journey that's filled with twists and turns and everything else that could have gone wrong, there's something glorious about being among God's people and praising God in the midst of the mess. And that's the journey we're called to in life. We're called to be a people of praise, that from all the journeys of life, we return again to be a people of praise. And this is one of the things that we're commanded as God's people to do. And it's what we see in Psalm 134. Verse 1 and 2 say, "Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord." Now, the people of Israel, they'd have just arrived at the temple. And I love that, like, their cry is one of praise, but actually it's a cry to those who were already there in the temple. That may have referred to the Levites, those who served in the temple. "You guys who are here, praise the Lord." But it can mean all of us. And yes, it's right, pray for us as church leaders. We need your prayers and we pray for you. But we're a priesthood of all believers. We're all welcome before the throne of grace. And so this is a command for each of us, that we are to worship. As we just sung in that song a couple of moments ago, that we're to worship in every moment of life, in every hardship, we're to worship him. In pain, we return to praise. In hardship, we return to praise. In joy, we return to praise. In tragedy, we return to praise. In the ordinary, we return to praise, because praise is the right response to God. As Ian prayed a few minutes ago, as God's blessed us, so we bless him with our praise. The risk is that by the time we get to Sunday, or the time we get to our daily quiet time, or the time when we actually return to God again, we feel like we're so busy, or there's been so much going on that we don't feel like praising. We're so exhausted, we have to make ourselves praise. We just don't feel like praise today. Eugene Peterson writes this in A Long Obedience in the same direction. He writes, "The persons who first sang this song had been traveling, literally the roads that led to Jerusalem. Now they had arrived and were at the temple to worship God in festival celebration. Some would have been on the road for days, some for weeks, some perhaps for months. Now they were at the end of the road. What would happen? What would they feel? What would they do? Would there be a deadness inside? Read one way, the sentence is an invitation. Come bless God. The great promise of being in Jerusalem is that all may join in rich temple worship. You are welcome now to do it. So come and join in. Don't be shy. Don't hold back. Did you have a fight with your spouse on the way? That's all right. You're here now. Bless God. Did you quarrel with your neighbor while making the trip? Forget it. You're here now. Bless God. Did you lose touch with your children while coming here and aren't sure where they are? Put that aside for a moment. They have their own pilgrimage to make. You are here. Bless God. Are you ashamed of the feelings you had while traveling? The grumbling you indulged in? The resentment you harbored? Well, it wasn't bad enough to keep you from arriving here today. And so now that you're here, bless God. Are you embarrassed at the number of times you quit and had to have someone pick you up and carry you along? It doesn't matter. You're here now. Bless God. This sentence is an invitation. It's also a command. Having arrived at the place of worship, will we just sit around and tell stories about the trip? No, we are here. God has blessed you, and now bless God. On our journey of life, and on our journey from day to day and week to week, there's so many things that can throw us off course. But the key thing of this psalm is this, that we return to praise God in every season of life. Our daily prayer times, our Bible readings, our weekly gathering here, they are moments of returning to bless God, because we're not just commanded to worship God, to praise him. We're invited. We're invited. Jesus is inviting you into his presence. He's inviting you to bless his name. You. You who had that thought on the way today. You who got angry with the driver in front of you. He's invited you. You who shouted at your kids this morning. He's invited you. You who don't feel good enough. He's invited you. Jesus is inviting you into his presence today. Will you choose to accept his invitation? We're called to be a people of praise who accept his invitation. As we heard in the video from Luke chapter 19 earlier, Jesus says, even the stones will cry out if we don't praise him. We're called to be a people of praise. And this is all about abiding, remaining in him. That as we return in praise, what we're doing is what Jesus talks about in John chapter 15, that we are remaining in him. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is inviting you to remain in him. And one of the ways we do that is by returning to him, by returning to him in praise. Psalm 134 isn't just a command to praise, it's an invitation. As ambassadors of Jesus' coming kingdom, we are to reflect his ways on the earth, to bring about his coming kingdom, but also we are to praise, to give the glory not to ourselves, but as ambassadors of the kingdom, we're to give the glory to the King of the kingdom, Jesus himself. And what we see then in this psalm is two movements. The first movement, verses 1 and 2, are that move of praise. But verse 3 is a move of God. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. I read the NIV, but it actually doesn't translate the words as best as it could. The word that's used for praise and bless in verses 1, 2, and 3, it's the same word. And it all means blessed, but for clarity, it's been split apart. This is how some of the translations render it. Come bless the Lord, you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. And may the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from heaven. As we bless God, he blesses us. We're not just commanded to bless him, to give him thanks and praise, but we're invited and called to do so. To praise the one who holds all the power, to praise the one who creates and sustains life, to praise the one who is the source and life of all blessing, the one by whom our whole lives and eternity depend on. Blessing is a fitting response to God. But the mystery we see in verse 3 is that God blesses us. We need to be careful to not read it that we bless God and then he blesses us in return. No, it's because God has blessed us. Through the journey, we've seen the blessing of God. And so now we bless him. And as we continue to bless him, he continues to bless us. This isn't prosperity blessing, by the way. This isn't I'll sing some songs of praise and I'll be rich and happy. This is God has blessed you. He's blessed you with life, with that shalom, that deep peace of God. And as we respond in praise to him, so he gives more of it to us. So he gives us more of himself. As we return to the well of living water, we are refreshed because in his grace, God blesses us. Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4, verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. You see, as we return in praise, that's what we're doing. We're blessing God by saying, we need you. We recognize that you are the God of the universe. We come to you, for we need you. And as we do that, Jesus is drawing from that well of living water, and he is pouring it into you. He's pouring it into you. And do you know as he pours the living water into you, all the mucky water that's in you comes out, and he refreshes you, and he refills you with fresh, living water. But we can also read verse 3 like a benediction, like a blessing. At the end of this journey, the people of Israel return to God again. They find their identity again. And as they come to bless God, he blesses them. The word you that's used here in the original language in the Hebrew, it's a very personal you. It's not yous, it's you. May God bless you with his life-giving and fulfilling power because he's purchased you with his own blood. And one day we will gather in ceaseless praise before him. And today Jesus is inviting you on a journey. A journey that is everlasting with him. A journey where you will reign and judge upon the new earth when he returns as the rightful king. But in this part of the journey, before the grave or before his return, we're to give the glory to him, our coming king. And as we do that, he blesses us. And on this journey, we're called to invite others to be part of that journey with us and to continually return to him. Because as ambassadors of the kingdom, there's two risks we can have. The first risk as an ambassador is this. that as you spend time in the country you've been sent to, you become too accustomed to the new country that you're not an effective ambassador. That you spent so much time in France that you're more French than you are British. But as ambassadors of the kingdom, yes, we're in the world, but we're to continually return to God in prayer daily, in his word daily, gathering together weekly. Why? So that we remain in the full knowledge that we are an ambassador of the kingdom. And as we return to this world, we carry the kingdom with us. The second risk we have is we become ghettoized. We spend so much time with those that we're sent from that we're not an effective ambassador because we don't know how to interact with the country we've been sent to. The risk is we can spend so much time in the church and doing church things that we don't know how to interact outside in the world. As ambassadors, we need to know the place we're sent as well as the identity of who we're called to be in the kingdom we have been called to. And so as we continually return to God in worship, we are reminded that we are his ambassadors, that it's his kingdom that we're called to see here on the earth. But we're not to get stuck here. We're to go as sent by God into this world to draw others to also find him, to be on the journey of praise with him. So at the end of this journey of the Psalms of Ascent, let's bless the Lord. Let's return to him. Let's know that our identity is in him, that we're refreshed and cleaned and refilled by his living water to be an ambassador of his kingdom here in the world.